Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. How often have you heard this on TV or in the movies, or even for real? Have you ever listened to two people telling or attempting to tell the same exciting story? Or two young children trying to find the words to capture an event they had just experienced, like finding a snake, or a robin's eggshell, or a caterpillar? It is the exuberance of human emotion, hobbled by the baggage of language, that often gets in the way of adequately expressing the truth. And we see some of that in today's gospel. But before we go forward, we must take a look back. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessings, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he had vanished from their sight. So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11. Now, if this sounds a bit familiar, that was the end of the gospel for the third Sunday of Easter last year. And it's exactly where our gospel today picks up. Cleopas and his fellow disciple were eyewitnesses of the risen Savior. And they raced the 7 miles from Emmaus to Jerusalem at night. That's as far as it is from this church out to Midway, just to tell their friends that they had seen Jesus. This was such a stupendous event in their lives that they had to share it with the other disciples. Can you just see them bursting into the upper room and blurting out, "We have seen the risen Savior"? Were they worried that the others might not believe them? Did they fear that the others would ridicule them for making such a bad joke? After all, their teacher, their leader, Jesus of Nazareth, was dead and buried, wasn't he? But they saw him, and now they were telling the others, only to find out that they were not the only ones to have seen Jesus that day. But it gets better. Jesus shows up in their midst. "Peace be with you," he says. Remember, that's how Jesus greeted his disciples 3 times in last week's gospel. And like last week, Jesus offers his hands and his feet as proof that it is truly him. Now, last week, the risen Jesus told his disciples and us, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." This week, he lays another mission on the disciples and us. "You are witnesses of these things." Witnesses. What exactly did Jesus mean? First, to witness is to see or to hear or to know by personal presence or perception. To bear witness is to testify, to give or offer evidence of something. Rather than just being eyewitnesses of the death and resurrection of Jesus, their Lord and their friend, the disciples were called to bear witness to his life. Their experience of him as risen made them fearless witnesses. A reaction to Jesus and on those first followers through whose witnessing we have come to believe today requires us to look inward, because we have the privilege and the responsibility of continuing to bear witness to the dying and the rising of Jesus. Ours must be a witness that is always true. But even before we utter a single word, our conduct with regard to all things and all persons should speak volumes about our care and our respect and our devotion and our dedication in all things, great and small. On this quality of Christian witness, Thomas Merton once said, "A saint preaches sermons by the way they walk, by the way they stand, the way they pick up things and hold them in their hands. And also, it's a window through which God's mercy shines on the world." What Merton says of saints can also be said of witnesses to the person and the mission of Jesus. Given the mission that we are reminded of this week, I ask you to reflect on how you give witness to the risen Christ. Now, standing on a corner and preaching the gospel is not a regular part of Catholic religious teaching and tradition. But acting as Christ would want us to act is something well within our power. We must never give others any opportunity to hold us up as one who should, but doesn't, live their faith every day. Today, Jesus still needs witnesses. He still needs people like us to be his arms and hands and legs and feet and mouth, but most importantly, as instruments of his love, in order to spread the good news of the gospel. Throughout our own lives, we have been affected by witnesses of the faith, witnesses of the gospel. We know who they are. We all can think of those aha moments when we learned of something fundamental or something mind-boggling about God. Our faith, self-sacrifice, cross-carrying, and again, most importantly, love. Not by what someone else has said, but by more importantly, by what someone else has done. So who have been our witnesses? And how and to whom are we witnesses to Jesus? Do we hear Jesus' command today to be witness as forcefully as it was delivered to the disciples 2 millennia ago? It is in the Eucharist where we come to know Jesus. We encounter the risen Lord and those around us. We encounter real people with real physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. They are hungry. They are Jesus. And they are right in front of us. Jesus did not command the whole world to go to church. Jesus commanded his church to go out to the whole world. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help your God?